She's still around. And, we're happy to have the girls with us. We've been enjoying some time with them. And we just thank God for His Word, for Revelation. We thank Him for His blessings. And we want to just approach Him now as we enter into the furtherance of this service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come with much thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. We come giving You praise and glory and honor. Lord, for Thou art the only worthy one. Lord, for You are the only one that was worthy to take the book. You were the only one worthy to look even upon the book, Lord. There was no man worthy. And Lord, You took that book and You redeemed every name that was in it, Lord. We thank You and praise You. So we appreciate, Lord, all this great things that have taken place, Lord, throughout the ages from Adam all the way down. Lord, just a great drama playing out of what You had in Your mind. And Lord, each one, Lord, is just a part of that, Lord, playing out that part that You ordained for each one to be and each one to manifest. And Lord, help us to surrender ourselves daily, Lord, to Your will, to Your desire. Help us and guide us, Lord. We pray that You would be with those that are not able to be here today. Bless those that are listening in. And Lord, those that will. And Lord, we commit every heart to You. So we just thank You and praise You. For we ask these favors humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you can be seated. And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord. And we want to say that we've been struggling the last few days. This flu that's been going around. And so it's really been rough. But it's really hampered my study a bit here, getting ready. And we're getting now into the meat of what we had. And for the covenant, the eternal covenant of God. But I want to spend maybe two or three services here, at least a couple of services, in the breach between. And so some of these things are very basic, especially at the beginning here. So in the breach, he talks a lot about the intercessory work. And we know that in God's plan of redemption, that through the Old Testament, they had the blood of bulls and goats, and they worshiped according to what God gave them, and they gave the sacrifice according to what God commanded them. But there was going to come a perfect sacrifice. There was going to come a perfect price that was going to pay the price, and that was going to be Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus Christ came, then He began, He gave His blood to pay the price, and He said on Calvary, He said, "It is finished." He said, "It's finished." But we found out that something wasn't finished. We found out that even though the price was finished, the price was paid, He had to stay there for 2,000 years as an intercessor. That there was it was still going on. There was something still going on that He couldn't finish this thing that He had in His mind. And so they wondered about it. For the last 2,000 years, since Pentecost, since the Apostle Paul's day, and Paul wrote about it, some of those things, and he gave some hints at it, but it's never been fully understood until this day, when He would come and He would reveal what was taking place, what was happening. And so we thank God for that. And so in this message, this is when before Brother Branham brought the revelation of the seven seals, he preached. First, he preached God in simplicity, and then he preached a message called the breach. And so, when he preached the message, the breach, in that message, he's tying it together. He called it the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. So now he's going to tie it together. He's going to bring it together, and so that we can understand what it is all about. And so in this message here, he brings it. And so I'm taking my time in that. I'm taking some of these simple things that I know you know. because we have the children here, and I think it would be good for them. I think it would be helpful for them to hear these things again. And I know they've heard it, but at the same time, at their age, it'd be good to have it well established in their hearts. And so we're going to start on page 68, paragraph 1. And then we're going to go through as far as we can. I think we're going to get right to the necessary work. And I had wrote down a couple of subtitles here, but I meant to take them out, and I didn't, because I was right at the last minute sending this to Brother Michael. So my subject title this morning is The Breach. I put up there the blood covenant, but and a couple other things, but those maybe I'll put them in there later. But this morning is The Breach. Okay. Now, and I want to say also, before I get started, is that we appreciate the messages that Brother Goomba brought the last two services. He really labored in the Word, and he brought some good things, and he brought some things for us to look at, and I am going to look at them closely. He mentioned some things that I hadn't looked at it that way before, and so we're looking at it. And then this morning, as I was studying, I pulled out some messages that I had preached back in 2017 in the Philippines, and it was talking about the sixth seal and the souls under the altar and the 144,000 and those martyrs that had died back there in the early ages. And so Brother Branham placed each one of them, and I left it out of here this morning, but he did that here in the seals. He was placing every one of those people in their redemption, in where they fit in and where they come in at. And so he was identifying the groups, and he was placing them where they go. And so so I just wanted to say, there was, of course, I didn't get everything. And I told my wife, I think my hearing is getting worse. They say when your hearing starts going, you're still here, you don't understand. And so I know a number of people over the years, that was the thing. Their doctors told them, and I've even had people tell me or try to argue with me, and I tried to explain to them. I said, "You're not hearing what's being said," and they would tell me, "Oh, I hear everything, I hear it." I said, "Okay." So then finally one day, the person went to the doctor, and they said he was understanding about 20-something% of what was being said. And so I used to kind of pride myself that when Brother Goomba was preaching, because we've been together so much, that I understood more than most Americans anyways in what he was saying. But it's getting where I'm having a harder time, and I think it's just my hearing is what's giving me that problem. But anyways, the quotes are there, and so we can read them, and we can enjoy them. And so we just want to say we appreciate. All right, so let us go here now. Brother Branham said, "How many in here has read What Time Is It, Sirs?" Everyone remembers that message. This is where Brother Branham was coming up to before the seals, a year or so before the seals, and God was giving him, he was in turmoil, he was nervous, he was upset. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what was happening. And he's seen this explosion, he's seen the earth, he's seen so many things going on, and he couldn't put it together. And so he's thinking it's the end of his life. He don't know if it's the end of the world. He don't know what's happening, and so he's trying to understand it. And so when he preached Sirs Is This a Time, in that message he continually said over and over, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know." But he was reading the scripture. He was bringing the scriptures, the prophecy of the end time. And so instead of him saying it's this and this and this and this and this, what he did is he read the scriptures. Revelations 10. He read Luke 17. He read Matthew 5. He read many, many scriptures concerning to the last days. And then he turned around and he brought it to the people and he said, "Now I'm asking you, in light of the scriptures that I have read to you, sirs, is this the time? Is this the time for these scriptures to be manifested? The time for these scriptures to be fulfilled?" And so We found out now, after a few years went by, the prophet had preached that message. It put fear in the people. And so then he come along, the seals was revealed. They began rejoicing and saying they begin to understand some of what had happened, what the blast was, and how the revelation, what those seven angels were doing, and how all of that came together, and how the seals broke open, and it was to open up all of the mysteries that were in the Bible. And that the Bible had prophesied that was going to take place. And to me, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of God's Word. Because that's how something can be hidden in the Word of God for thousands of years, people not even know that it's there, and then God comes along and has a prophet pull the Scripture out and says, this is that. And that's exactly what Paul did in Jesus' day. He went back into Psalms, and where David was singing a song saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Paul said, what did Jesus say on the cross? Exactly the same thing. So he starts pulling those scriptures out and saying, this is that, this is that, this is that. And that's what our prophet did. He pulled out those scriptures and he began to identify the manifestation of those things in this day so that we would know that where we were in God's time, where we would know where we are in God's prophecy, what God had prophesied for this day. And only a little group, you know, the world don't know. Only God reveals it to a little group. And that's all. So it's a mystery. It's a complete mystery. The Scripture lays there. It can lay there for thousands of years, and people don't know what it is. And the book of Revelation, we had a whole book. We had the whole book of Revelations that laid there for 2,000 years, and they were guessing and guessing and guessing and guessing. And then the prophet comes on the scene and he begins to open it up. And you can, I wouldn't waste my time really, but if you ever, I've got it just by casual, once in a while, God allowed it me to hit the right time. But if you get some of these radio preachers and listen to them, they will be quoting the prophet word for word out of the Church Ages book and out of the seal book. They wouldn't mention his name. They wouldn't identify themselves with him. They wouldn't identify themselves with the message. But this revelation of the book of Revelations makes more sense than anything any of them has ever said. And they recognize it. And so then they veer off as they go along. But they see things that's just so perfect. Because he took it Genesis to Revelations, and he brought it together. So how many years read, what time is it, sirs, or heard it? You know, what time is it, sirs? That's bothered me quite a bit. If you haven't, I wish some way you could get to hear it some way. It kind of bothered me. Now, I went up in the canyon, and I climbed way up high as I could go, asked the Lord while setting up there what all this meant and so forth. It was kind of bothered, and I didn't know just what to do. And so while I was praying, a strange thing happened. Now, I want to be honest. Now, I could have fallen asleep. It could have been like a trance. It could have, I could have seen a vision. I'm more or less inclined to believe that it was a vision. My hands were out saying, Lord, what does this blast mean? And what does these seven angels in a constellation of the pyramid picking me up off the ground and turning eastward, what does it mean? And I was standing there in prayer and something happened, and now something fell in my hand. And now I know if you don't understand spiritual things, it may seem very strange to you, but something struck my hand. And when I looked, it was a sword. So I thought, what would I do with that? And while holding it in my hand, a voice from somewhere said, that's the king's sword. And then it left me. Well, I wondered what it meant. That is the king's sword, see? And I thought, if it would have said a king's sword, it might have been, I would have understood. But it said the king's sword. So this just wasn't any king, this was the king.
That's right.
So I may not have this right, but I thought there's only one, the King, and that's God. And his sword is this, sharper than any two-edged sword. See? And if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So you know the, I cut a lot of that out, but you know what it is. You know that the sword came into his hand. You know that it represented the word of the Lord. And so because he brought it as the King's sword, as he brought it as God's word, in it was coming in this day in maturity. It was coming in this day in its fullness of its power, in the fullness of its maturity, in the fullness of the revelation, to bring it into that genuine revelation of what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. He had been letting it out. Little by little by little, he had been letting out this revelation. And people would see a little bit and see a little bit, and then the preachers and the theologians would come along and they would add something to it. And they would get the picture distorted. And then another little while, another prophet comes along and he gives them something and he clears that up, gets it straightened out, and gives them a little greater picture of God. And then that one goes off scene. Then the theologians come on, they add to it. And they mess up, they blur the picture. And but God kept building and building and building that picture of who he was and what he was and what his plan was. And then in the end, to bring it down to reveal who you are. Amen. Who you are and why you are here. That's right. That's part of his great plan. That's part of his great purpose. Amen. That's what man has been wondering about. Man has been wondering why, what is going on? Amen. And now he's revealed it. Yes, now he's made it known. On page 69, now, in this book, now, the fifth chapter of the book, which is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. See, now tomorrow night's the first seal, which the first four seals are opened by four horse riders. All right? When you read the book of Revelations, so he's saying what it said. One on each seal that strikes the earth. Now, I don't know when, because I do not know what the first rider is. I do not know the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or the seventh. To this moment, I do not know. I'm just depending on him. Now, he's preached Sunday morning. He preached God in simplicity. Now it's Sunday night. He's preaching the breach. He's going to start on the first seal on Monday night. And every night, he's going to take a seal. The following Sunday morning, he's going to take the questions and answers on the seals, and on Sunday night, he's going to take the seventh seal. I think that's right. I think that's how he did it, or else he did two Saturday and one Sunday. But I think that's how he did it. It went Sunday to Sunday. So the seventh seal was last, and he was expecting that to be a real long one, and it wasn't as long as he expected. God had him cut some of those things out and leave it there in a supernatural element. Leave it there because it was going to continue to unfold, continue to be revealed as he went along. But at this time, he did not know what the seals were. He's standing there. The people have come from all over the nation, some from other countries in the world. They're there for the revelation of the seven seals, and he's yet dependent on God to reveal this thing. Think about, could you imagine the pressure on that veil of flesh? Imagine the pressure. Now, I don't know when, because I do not know what the first rider is. I do not know the second, third, fourth, see? Page 70, paragraph 2. So that's why, see, trying this week by the grace of God to help, believing that if you understand deeply, you know in visions, you cannot reveal things until you are permitted to reveal them. Now, that's also how this was coming forth when he was preaching, Sirs, Is This the Time? He was bringing things and put it to them in a question. Some of those things he understood and some of those things he didn't understand. But he put it all out there. You would have thought he didn't know none of it, but he did. But he cannot tell you until God tells him. God can show him something. God does show him things. And then he cannot reveal it until God tells him to reveal it. He had many people come to him and ask him questions. Say, Brother Branham, what about this? What about my dream? What about this? And he couldn't tell him. Even if he knew, he couldn't tell him. Many times, even some of those six dreams that were capped by the vision, when they first came to him, they told him, and he walked away. He wouldn't comment. He wouldn't talk to him. He wouldn't say nothing. Because he knew he had to hold himself right in the hand of God and not say one thing out of order, not say one thing amiss. I'm thinking, that was our example. That was our example of what God wants in his people. He wants a people, a bride on the earth that is so surrendered to him that they're not going to do anything. They're not going to say anything until he has given them that permission. That's exactly what he said in the Church Ages book. She'll have thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet. She'll hold right there and wait on him. Now we're going to turn to the fifth chapter. Now this is not the seven seals. It is the breach between the Church Ages and the seven seals. See? And there's also the sixth chapter, and there was a fourth chapter, of Revelation. And in that, it kind of revealed something that would take place after the church going up. See? That the church goes up on the third chapter of Revelation. See? And does not return until the 19th chapter of Revelation. Now, this was an astounding statement for Brother Branham to make in 1963. He is now revealing the book of Revelations. And he's saying that the rapture takes place at the end of the third chapter. And you don't see the bride again until the 19th chapter. And we know that the bride was feeding upon this revelation of Revelations chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8. Revelation 6 through 8, those chapters are the seven seals that we enjoyed, that we are blessed with, that we're reading right now. But he is revealing that the bride goes up right there at the end of the third chapter. He makes another astounding statement in just a minute. Therefore, the church misses the tribulation. See, but now we'll read the first verse. Verse 1. And I saw, we're reading, I think, Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon a throne, a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, and neither to look thereon. What a book. Think about that. There was not a man that was worthy to even look at this book. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Now, you speak about unworthiness, not even worthy to look at it. No man, nowhere. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Now, who's going to open the book? The Lion. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, this is what the scripture is declaring here. One of the elders spoke to John and told him, "There's no man in heavens and earth, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah is going to do it. See, the Root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." Now, let's read that again. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain." Now, he just told us it was a lion. And he turns to see the lion, and he sees a lamb. Now, that's two different animals altogether. One is the meekest and the weakest, and the other is the strongest and the most ferocious. And in this case, it's a spiritual thing. It's two different ministries. One is the ministry of the Lamb of God, and one which is redemption, and one is the ministry of the Lion, which is judgment. So it's one is the beginning of it, one is the finish of it. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Praise be to God. Now you keep asking yourself that question that Brother Branham presented to the people. Sirs, is this the time? Is this the time? Has he come and took the book? People fail to recognize the fullness of what's being said in the scripture and by the prophet. They agree that the seals are here. They agree that the seals are open. They agree the mysteries have been revealed. But yet, they don't agree that he's come, because they're looking for him in a different form and fashion that he came. If the only way they're going to believe is if they see a body with nail-scarred hands, they may never see him. Now, if that's the only way they're going to believe, if they can't believe the word, and as Jesus told them, said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. So if I see a genuine ministry of God that's raising the dead, opening the blinded eyes, I'm not talking about these false prophets out here. I'm not talking about these guys out here that's after your money and they don't believe the word, and they don't believe in a lie, living the life. They don't believe in holiness. They don't believe in much of anything. They just believe in getting your money. Too many of them. Too many of them are just after fame. They want to be the guy. They want to be the guy. They want to be that number one. Brother Branham said there's three things that are good a preacher: money, women, and fame. And there are people that don't need money. It's that fame. It's that I want to be at the top. This seven seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Now, these little things that he keeps dropping in, if we'll hold on to them and not forget it as we go along, if we insert these things back in to the message, back into the revelation, then it will show us where we're at. It will show us the fullness of what he's saying. Because he's saying here that the seven seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. It's going to be at that time that this takes place. So if all of a sudden I find myself walking around with the seven seal book, with the revelation of the seven seals, then I can go back to this and I can know that those seven thunders were coming forth at the same time. At the same time, this was to happen also. Maybe one was right before the other, something like that. He declares, he explains it, he tells us. Let's turn to Revelation 10 just a moment, and you'll get an understanding before we get into it. See, this is the end time. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. Now, if you notice, that's Christ. So now we don't have to guess anymore who it is, do we? We don't have to wonder who that is in Revelation 10. That's Christ. See? Because in the Old Testament, he was called the angel of the covenant. And he's directly coming to the Jews now. For the church is finished, see? All right. Now, this quote right here takes us right back over to what we just read, where he said the church goes up at the end of the third chapter. And you don't see her again to the 19th chapter. And now he's identifying what's going to happen when that takes place. He's telling us that all of this now, that this messenger, this angel, see, he's directly coming to the Jews now. That's quite a statement. That's quite a statement. To think that the bride is still here, still on the earth, and that this coming, he's coming to the Jews. His face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. You'll remember the angel in Revelation 1? Same thing. Angel is a messenger, and he's a messenger to Israel. Now, he didn't make a slip of speech. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't get confused. He's saying the same thing again. Amen. See, the church has been raptured. See, now, comma, or fixin' to be raptured. He comes for his church. So at this time, when this mighty angel comes down, he's coming for his church. He's coming for his church. He's coming directly to Israel at this time. He had in his hand a little book open, and now here it was, closed, here, sealed. Here it's open. Now what's he talking about? I cut some out. When we read Revelation chapter 5, the book was closed, and there was no man worthy to take the book and to open it up. But now in Revelation chapter 10, this mighty angel, Christ, comes down from heaven, and now the book is open. So something's happened. Something has happened here from the third chapter to the fifth chapter to now the tenth chapter.
That's right.
He's gonna read it, but let's not miss nothing now. See, it's been opened. Since the time of the sealing we're getting into tonight, now the book's opened. A little book in his hand, it was opened. Oh, how. See, the sun as pillars. Just wait a minute now. Let's start back here reading. Verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And we know he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Over here, he's a lamb, but here he's a lion. So two different things, two different ministries. There's a lamb, the book's closed. Here's the lion, the book's open. See? And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now John was commissioned to write what he saw. So the apostle and prophet picked up his pen to write it. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now that's what we don't know. That's yet to be revealed. See? But he already told us, he did tell us, that it's going to be at the same time that the seven seals are revealed. Those seven thunders are going to be revealed at the same time as the seven seals. He said, now that's what we don't know. But yet it's to be revealed. It's not in the Holy Script what them thunders say. It's not in the Bible what those seven thunders say. But what does the Bible say about how it's going to be revealed? The Bible says that that mighty angel will come down from heaven and he himself will speak those seven thunder mysteries. That's how it's going to happen. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, that there should be time no longer. I think we missed something there, but. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, this is the promise. This is the promise that the mystery of God is going to be revealed when these things take place.
That's right.
Page 73. Now, see, the mystery of the seven seal book will be revealed at the sounding of the seventh church age, church angel's message. Now there's another piece. There's another piece. The thunders, the seven seals, now the seventh angel messenger. And the mighty angel that comes down. And the seventh angel begins to sound, and there's the messages wrote out there. And we got it in tape and book form. And we already got all of that in tape and book form. He'd been revealing the scriptures right up to the time that these seven thunders, or these seven seals are going to be revealed, and the seals are going to be taken off. Now, at the beginning of the sounding of the message, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, he's saying at the beginning. So, Brother Branham said more than one time that all of the Bible is revealed, and then comes those seven thunder mysteries. So, he separated that aspect. He said, all of the Bible is revealed, and then comes those seven thunder mysteries. Now, at the beginning of the sounding of the message, the mystery of God should be finished at that time. Now, we'll notice the book of the mystery of God is not revealed until the seventh angel's message is sounded. Let's read it again. The book of the mystery of God is not revealed until the seventh angel's message is sounded. Now, these points will be important in the seals, I'm sure. Because it must every bit tie together. Now it's wrote mysterious because no man nowhere knows it. God alone, Jesus Christ, see? But it's a book. It's a mysterious book. And listen to this. It's a book of redemption. And that's what we've been building up to all this time. That it is a book of redemption, and now it's time for this book to be revealed. What's inside of it? What the revelation of it is, it's time now for that to take place. See? It's probed at through six church ages. But at the end, when the seventh angel begins to sound his mystery, it winds up all of those loose ends that these fellows probed at. And the mysteries come down from God as the Word of God and reveals the entire revelation of God. Now, I always like it when I hear these statements because Paul talked about the same thing in the New Testament in his day. And he was referring to his message to the people. And he called it the gospel of our salvation. He was speaking to the people of his day that were receiving the revelation that God had gave him. And so, the revelation of that day that came through the messenger of that day, that was the gospel of their salvation. That was the good news for that day. That was the revelation of God for that day. And now, Brother Branham is telling us this revelation is coming down from God as the Word of God. This is the gospel of our salvation. Now is coming, the fullness of it is coming now for us to enjoy, to be blessed. Then the Godhead and everything else is settled. All the mysteries, serpent seed, whatever more is to be revealed. Yeah. And you know, when early on as a young Christian, I would read these things and I was like, why did he say that? Why did he say Godhead? Why did he say serpent seed? He had been preaching serpent seed for 30 years. Why did he include those things in there? He had the revelation of one God all the way through his ministry. He had the revelation of water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the revelation. But now all of a sudden, the seals opening up, and even after the seals, he continued to say this same thing. Now we understand the Godhead. Now we understand the serpent seed. What had happened? Brother Branham talked about in the Church Ages book on the serpent seed. He said, I didn't know this till just the other day. And he said, you let them come against me now on the serpent seed. He said, I had Lee Vail put it in that first church age. So the revelation of the Godhead was perfected in this revealing of these seals. The revelation of the serpent seed, the revelation of all of the Godhead, all of it, everything about God, every doctrine, everything, it was perfected in this revelation. It opened the whole thing up. See, it's thus saith the Lord. I'll read it to you out of the book. The sounding of the seventh angel's message, the mystery of God should be finished. That's been declared by his holy prophets. That's the prophets who has wrote the word. At the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the loose ends that's been through these church ages have been probed at, will be wound up together. And when the seals are broke and the mystery reveals, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ. Huh? And when the seals are broke and the mystery's revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ. Now, he's given us pieces. He's given us another piece and another piece and another piece. And so he's already vindicated to us all through the message that this is the voice of God, that this is the prophet of God. So now it's not a matter of, we're not in this place of, okay, we're going to prove what he said, whether what he said is right or not. We're not even there. We're so far past that. We know that whatever he said is thus saith the Lord. We know this is the word of God. Just like reading your Bible, you find something, you don't understand what it is. You don't throw it away and say, well, that's not the Bible. That's not the word of God. You know it's the word of God. And you only wait for God to reveal to you what it is. And so when you read something out of this message that God has vindicated by the prophet of this day, you don't throw it away and say, no, that don't even make sense. No, you say, God, please reveal this to me. Open my understanding. Let me see this revelation of what the messenger is saying. So he's telling us that these seven thunders are going to be revealed at the same time as the seven seals. And he's saying that will be done at the time of the seventh angel's message, who has already delivered his message and who has been gone for 60 years. Already done, already finished. At the same time, this mighty angel is going to come down from heaven. He's the one who's going to speak the seven thunder mysteries. Yeah, in the last few years, these people going away because of these things. It's amazing. It's amazing. How can they fail? How can they fail to see God? Down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on earth at the time of his coming. Praise be to God. Amen. So they didn't see him. He's telling them he's here. He's here. And they're looking for nail-scarred hands. They're looking for a body that hung on Calvary. I don't have a scripture that says that. I don't have a quote that says that. I don't have anything that says that. But we got plenty that says that he come at the same time. While that seventh angel was on earth, that mighty angel came down. And you can be sure when he came down, he did what the Bible said he was going to do. He spoke those seven thunder mysteries. The only thing that God needed when he came down was a body to speak through. Amen. And he used that same body that brought the message to the seventh church age.
That's right.
The seventh angel's message was finished. The seventh church age was finished.
Yep.
And now God took that same veil of flesh and incarnated himself in that flesh.
Yes, sir.
And he began to speak those seven thunder mysteries.
That's right.
To the people. And people would look at him and say, that's just a man. It was a man. That's what they said about Jesus. He was a man too. But God was in that man.
Amen.
And God was in this man speaking forth the promise, speaking forth the prophecy for this day. Just as John was giving his message, see, the same time that Messiah come in the days, John knew he would see him. Because he was going to introduce him. Now, that's the type right there. Just as the forerunner in Jesus' day was on the earth, and Jesus come to him to be baptized. So now here's the messenger introducing the Messiah. And as soon as he introduces the Messiah, there can't be two at the same time. So what happens to John? He's preaching, and he tells the king that he's living in adultery. And so they put him in prison, and they cut his head off. So God took him home because there was another messenger on the earth. That was Jesus Christ himself. The seventh angel had finished his message, so he just used that same flesh. See? Now, and we realize that in the scriptures over in Malachi 4, there's to be one like John, an Elijah, to whom the word of God can come to, and he's to reveal by the Holy Spirit all the mysteries of God and restore the faith of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. Restore back all these mysteries that's been probed at through these denominational ages. See, that's what the word said. I'm just responsible for what it said. It's written. See, it's written is right. That's what it is. Now we see, we see that this seven seal book now is the mystery of redemption. It's a book of redemption. Now he's done said this a couple times, and he's saying it a couple more times, and he's going to say it more times. The book that's being revealed is the book of redemption. Now he's talking about seven seals. He's talking about seven thunders. He's talking about the seventh messenger. He's talking about that mighty angel Christ coming down. But he's identifying that actually the thing that's being revealed is the book of redemption. He's going to reveal the names of the ones that he redeemed. All of those that he paid for the price at Calvary, he's now come to claim them and to possess them. Now we see this seven seal book now is the mystery of redemption. It's a book of redemption from God. Now all the mysteries at this time should be finished at the sounding of this messenger. And now here's the angel on the earth and another angel. Is this a different angel? Now I never was good in English, but another means a different one. Right? It's not the same one, a different one. There's an angel on the earth, and then there's another angel that comes down from heaven. Now, this is the mighty angel. This is a heavenly angel. This is Christ himself. But here comes one down from heaven, a rainbow covenant. See, only Christ it could be. Just exactly like it was in Revelation, the first chapter, standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks with a rainbow to look upon as jasper and sardis stone. This mighty angel that comes down. What a ministry that was promised to us in this last day. That Christ himself would come forth and speak these seven thunder mysteries. That God would reveal this plan of redemption. Not the part that they had in Moses' day. Not the part they had down through the ages, through all those prophets. Not just the part that they had in Paul's day. Not what was happening, just what was happening. He did reveal what was happening in the dark ages. He revealed to us how that seed went into the ground, how it had to die, and then how there was a resurrection, begin to come back, come up. He revealed all of that. Then he revealed, as Brother Goomba was saying on Wednesday night, how that second crucifixion had to come forth, had to take place in this last day. All of it perfectly in God's timepiece, and God revealing it to the bride. See, here he returns back in the 10th chapter after the coming time. Here he returns back in the 10th chapter after the coming time. Now, another place he says, goes up, comes back down. Goes up, comes back down. What's he talking about? He already told us that the bride is raptured in the 3rd chapter, and she comes back in the 19th chapter. She goes up, comes back down. It's never the way the theologians had it figured out. Never, ever. When Jesus Christ came on the earth, it was not Hamas or ISIS. It was not the Syrians. It was not the Egyptians. It was not any other nation that crucified God, God's man. It was the very people that were looking for the Messiah. It was the most religious people on the face of the earth. Shouldn't that make people today live in fear? Shouldn't that make people today walk with humility and holiness and concern about what we say and what we do? Shouldn't it make us think that this is a serious thing that's taking place? That it was the most holy people, the most holy city, the most holy everything, and here they were killing the most holy God.
Amen.
Who crucified him in this day? It was the churches again.
That's right.
It was the churches again today. There they killed him physically. Here they killed him spiritually.
Amen.
They put him out of their churches because they rejected the word. And that's exactly how he came to them. He came to them as the revealed word.
Amen.
He is the word. In John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. God is the word. And if you're going to see God, you'll have to know the word.
Amen.
You'll have to recognize the word standing before you. You'll have to recognize the word living out, manifesting. Something hit me this morning. And if you listen to the news, you know. You know when you know, sometimes you can't tell if a reporter is a Palestinian or an Israelite until they start talking. Until they start talking, you don't know. So it's when this, on day one of the October 7th attack, there was a soldier from the Israeli army who was, I don't remember if it was one of these where you just make it yourself and send it out, or if he was a reporter that was interviewing. And he said, this is not a war of us and Hamas. He said, they know that they will lose this war. They know it. He said, the war that we're fighting is the PR war. And that's the reason you see all these colleges that are coming against Israel. Hamas is winning that war. They're winning that. They're making Israel look bad. It don't matter how many thousand Jews they killed. They're missing that, and they're going to how many are dying. And I've said it over and over, it's all bad. It's all bad. But at the same time, they are defending themselves.
Amen.
And when you're going to report it, report both sides of it.
Yes.
And so this morning, I was listening to an Israeli woman reporter. And so if it's an Israelite, they're always telling you what Hamas did on October 7th. And I think she said that since then they've sent like 13,000 missiles that have actually landed in Gaza. Hamas themselves. A lot of their artillery's junk, and it doesn't even make it to Israel. It falls in Gaza and kills the Gazans, and then they blame the Israelites for it. And I just wonder if they're doing some of that on purpose, because that's what they want. They want to win that PR war. And so I read this morning, what caught my attention was that 11 that Israel just killed. They bombed an airport. Where was it? I think in Syria. It had 11 Iranian officials. And they bombed and killed those 11 Iranian officials. So I had to take some time and read it. So I clicked on it to read it. And immediately you read the first paragraph, you know, and then there's always an advertisement there. And that's the way the news is nowadays. And so the advertisement said 11 points. It went to 11 points of what Hamas had done to Israel. And so the first thing that came to my mind was, in the Old Testament, for Israel, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so immediately they're putting up that they just killed these 11 officials. So now they're going to bring to your attention 11 things that Hamas has done to them. And it's right there. And I didn't click on it, and I didn't want to take time to go through it, but I did want to read about those officials. But it's the thing that come to me was there it was right there. That's their mindset. That's their way of thinking. This is, they attacked us. This is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This is God's way of doing this. Here he returns back in the 10th chapter after the coming time that all the mysteries is to be finished and the seals are to be broke and proclaiming that time is no more. Now that's Revelations 10, 4, time is no more. Okay? So Jesus said on Calvary, it is finished. And now here he's saying time is no more. Something is finished once again. And he said when the seventh seal, seventh angel has begun to sound, when the mystery should be finished and time for the angel to appear. Now we're close somewhere. That's right. See? That's right. We're close somewhere. See? We are sure to miss something unless it's absolutely, genuinely revealed by the Holy Spirit and vindicated the same. Now, this is what God has done through the ministry in this last day, the ministry of William Branham. This is exactly what he revealed it and he vindicated that revelation over and over and over again. God vindicated. See, if the prophet rises and tells you that this is just that and God don't vindicate the thing, forget about it. See? But God in every statement, in everything, has to vindicate it to make it right. See? That's the reason we got the picture of the cloud. That was God vindicating what was taking place out there. Those seven angels coming. That was God vindicating. There was vindication after vindication after vindication. The word that came forth, it was proven from Genesis to Revelation. There was no doubt about it. It was proven in the Bible. Scripture after scripture testified. The prophet testified. And then Brother Branham said the third thing, there was three ways. He said, by the word, by the prophet. He said, by scientific. He said, that picture, he said, the scientists took it. We didn't take it. There's too many people that are zealous and want to help God out. And they might even make a lie up to try to make God. God don't need your lies. God don't need any help. He is the all-powerful. He's the all-sufficient. Amen. He will vindicate his word. You don't have to pretend like blinded eyes were open or somebody got healed. You don't have to pretend like it. God has healed enough to prove who he is. Amen. And he only heals when he sees fit. God is in control of all things. Amen. He is sovereign. Notice the seven seals on the book. These seven seals has the book sealed. See? The book is absolutely sealed. Do you see it? Yeah, he says it three times and then asks you if you see it. He wants to make a point. The book is absolutely a sealed book until the seven seals is broken. It is sealed with seven seals. Now, that's what I told you this was coming. Now that's different from the seven thunders. That's two different things altogether. But they come in at the same time. And there's two messengers there. That seventh angel messenger got to finish his message, bring all the mysteries of the Bible, and then this mighty angel is going to come down and he's going to speak those seven thunder mysteries. Now, these seven seals and these seven thunders are two different things altogether. And we must know that. We must understand that. That's where they get it confused. I remember years ago, they didn't have, after these things, Brother Ram said, when the seals was revealed, it still hung in a supernatural element. And so, as it's hanging in that element, there was men of God that was studying. And some of them were able to be still and be quiet until thus saith the Lord. Some of them, they knew it was in here, or they thought it was in here. They didn't know, but they just kept studying. And there was others who they knew what he said, and so now they're thinking, somebody's got to come do it. Something's got to happen. We got to make this thing happen. Otherwise, this whole message is going to go away. It's going to fall apart. People aren't going to believe anymore. People are going to go away. No, if it's the Word of God, they'll wait right there. Yeah, I don't care if it's 100 years. They will wait because God will reveal it. And so they begin, some of these churches up here, they had their big meeting. This was way, way, way back there, long before we knew about the message. And they called a meeting, had seven nights, and they had a different man every night. And every man was supposed to be a thunder. And so they brought that. They went back into Statue of a Perfect Man, the seven virtues. And so that sounded real good, but that wasn't it. That wasn't it. No. They missed it. God don't need our help. God's already got it planned. See, this is seven seals on the book. And the book, the seals, will not be released until the message of the seventh angel. So we are presuming. Until that time, we're just presuming. But the genuine revelation of God will be made perfect in that sounding and vindicated truth. He always brings that vindicated part in there. So it's going to be the genuine revelation. It's going to be the full revelation. It's going to be the maturity of the revelation. That's what it's come to. It's been building for thousands of years. And now it's come to the genuine revelation. We'll be made perfect in that sounding and vindicated the truth. Now that's exactly what the word said. The mystery should be finished at that time. And this seven seal book, remember, it was closed in Revelation chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 10, it is opened. And now we're going to see what the book says about how it became open. Isn't that beautiful? You're getting all the details. It's giving you all the details to understand what's happening. Now, the Bible said in one chapter it's closed, another chapter it's open, and now he's promising that it's going to tell us how it got open. Now, and it is not made known until the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seals and opens the book, see? The Lamb got to take the book. The Lamb's got to take the book. It's his. See, that's right. It's his book. And now remember, no man in heaven, no man on earth, pope, bishop, cardinal, state, presbyter, see, whoever he is can break them seals or reveal the book but the Lamb. And we've probed and presumed and stumbled and wondered, and that's the reason we're in such a confusion. But with the divine promise that this book of redemption will be perfectly opened by the Lamb. And the seals thereof will be loosed by the Lamb in the last days in which we're living now. And it is not made known until the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seals. Amen. Praise God. Because remember now, the book was being held in the hands of him that sat upon the throne. And the Lamb comes to him that sits on the throne and takes the book out of his hand. He takes the book. Now, this is what was taking place. This is what's happening now. This was lost. Adam lost this book. This book was the rights on eternal life. And Adam possessed it. Adam possessed it. And so now when he forfeited it by listening to his wife, now it goes back to the original owner. Now, Satan got into the works, but he didn't get the book. Because it wasn't his. It went back to the original owner. God had given it over to his son, who God had made a god of the earth. God had made his son the god over the earth, over everything that he had. And now he was in charge of everything. But then his wife listened to the serpent. And she fell. And he couldn't lose her. He couldn't let her go. He had to go take her. And when he did, he forfeited his right to the book.
Amen.
And now he wasn't worthy. He was one of them that was not worthy to look on the book, to take the book, to redeem the book. He wasn't.
Amen.
So he was depending on somebody to do it. The Lamb comes and comes to him that sits on the throne. Who's that? The Father. The Lamb comes before the Father. Who is the Father? He's the eternal Spirit. And who is the Son? He's the Word. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He comes and takes that book. And he comes forth to redeem the names in that book. See? Oh, that's deep. We'll try to solve it out if we can by the help of the Holy Spirit. See, now we're depending on him. And we will see later, it is at the end time when time has run out. See, now that's what Revelation 10 said. When time runs out, at this time, when this seven thunders speak, time is no more. He's not talking about the clock. He's not talking about your watch. He's not talking about the sun not shining. He's talking about the revelation of redemption being revealed. It's no longer going to be hidden from the children of God. It's no longer going to be hidden from them. Now God is going to reveal the whole plan to them so they understand what happened in the beginning, what happened all the way through, and what's happening right now in their day. And that they were a part of God, eternal in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. They have no sin. They stand justified in the sight of God. They are perfect in the sight of God. Everything that this flesh has done or ever could have done is wiped away. Because this is not the son and daughter of God. That son and daughter of God is that seed, that germ, that soul that's on the inside. It's on the inside. That's the child of God. That's in there. That's going to get another body one day when this one dissolves. There's another body waiting for us to go into. This one here was born in sin. This one is going to die. It's going to die. No denomination has the right for the interpretation of the book. No man has the right to interpret it. It's the Lamb who interprets it. It's the Lamb is the one who speaks it. See? And the Lamb makes the word to be known by vindicating and bringing the word to life. Praise God. That means it's going to live. That means it's going to become a reality. Page 76. Notice, is not revealed. This book is not revealed until the church ages and the denominational ages has run out. And there's time no more. Now he just keeps giving us more details. More details, more details, more details. So this book is not revealed until the church age is ended. So that means that these seven seals are revealed at the end of the seventh church age. So people arguing about whether it's over, it's not over, it's over, it's not over. If you're carrying that seal book around,
right.
If you got that seal book and you believe it's the revelation of God, it could not be revealed until the church ages were over.
That's right.
That's the reason why when people are trying to get us back into a Pentecostal age, that was all good. But we're a million miles past.
Amen.
We're a million miles past that.
That's right.
Makes me think of Brother Branham when I think it was Brother Charlie came to Brother Branham. And they hunted together over the years. They loved to hunt. Brother Branham loved to hunt. Brother Charlie loved to hunt. They spent a lot of time in the woods together. Of course, not together. They would go hunting together. But when they got to the woods, they separated. And they would meet back after so many hours. They might be there all day. And Brother Branham spent a lot of time. But one time, Brother Charlie was talking to Brother Branham. He said, do you think... Because Brother Branham had made this statement. Everything that you ever loved or that loved you will be there. I'm sorry that beeping is me. Somehow or another, this thing is, I guess, from my phone, has connected to my computer, and I don't know why it's doing that. So anyways, so Brother Charlie's thinking about this thing Brother Branham said, everything that you loved. And Brother Branham loved hunting. So he said, Brother Branham, do you think we'll hunt over there? And he said, no, Brother Charlie, I don't think we'll hunt over there. He said, but we love it so much. He said, yeah. He said, but Brother Charlie, it's like this. He said, what if you were a pig? What if you were a pig? And he said, you lived your life as a pig. And he said, then one day you became a human being. You know, now you might have been a pig. You might have been a pig that lived on a big ranch, a big farm, who you got lots of food. You never had to look for food. It was just always there. The bin, the trough was full every day, fresh water every day. You're the happiest pig in the whole world. You got it all. You couldn't lack for anything. They took care of you in the best way. But now you become a human. Now, Brother Branham said, Brother Charlie, do you think that now that you're a human, you want to go back and be a pig? What about that? What do you think about that? I don't think so. No. You wouldn't want to go back. And he said, it's going to be a million times better than that.
Amen.
A million times better. Praise God. When he promises that when time has finished out, there'll be a sounding of the seventh angel's voice, and then the book will be revealed, see, at that time. Now, don't nobody... Nobody say that them people ain't saved back there, see? Now, this is deep what he's saying, and it kind of comes out of the blue, but he's telling us that all of that back there is over with now when the real revelation is coming. And remember, the Bible said, they, in speaking also to the Old Testament, they could not be made perfect without us. And so he's given us a hint here, just out of the blue, he's saying, don't think that those people are not saved back there in those church ages. Don't think they're not saved. No. See? But the mysteries that they couldn't understand. How that God can be three, yet be one. How that God could send a messenger by the name of Luther, who believed in a Trinitarian doctrine. He believed in that lie. Yet he was the messenger to the age. So it just goes to show you, these people with all of this idea that you're going to have to know everything that they know or know everything that somebody else knows, that's a lie. The only thing you got to do is believe what God reveals to you. When God brings you something, you're going to believe what God has revealed to you. We're all on different levels. And I'm happy right there where God put me. Many times people get so high up in the revelation that it just takes them off into some nonsense. And I don't want to mention any names, but I can remember before we moved to North Carolina, we thought about moving to Ohio. When we were thinking about moving here, we were thinking about moving there. And the only thing that helped me make my decision, because at that time we was going to have meetings in Florida, and we invited the preachers here and the preachers there. And the ones there was not going to come unless they got all the services that they wanted, and these other preachers would just get, I think what he wanted all of the evening services, and everybody else get all the morning services. And I thought, I was just a young Christian, so I just thought fair is fair, and I didn't think that was fair. And so I thought there was some attitude, something was wrong with that spirit as a young Christian, so I didn't get it. So that actually played a part in my decision of coming here versus going there. And so I watch a big preacher sometime. The more revelation they get, they come to that place where they don't mean to be. They might not even realize they're acting like it. But they become the authority on the Word of God. And everything they say is right, and everything you say needs to be adjusted. They want you to say it like them. They want you to do it like them. They want this and this and this and this. And I've seen it over and over. It's everywhere. I would just rather stay at the bottom. I'd just rather stay at the bottom and not have all of that pressure and not have all of that, those spirits to fight. God is going to get his seed where he wants them. And you don't have to produce anything. You don't have to make it work. All you got to do is know him and the power of his resurrection.
Right.
He will reveal himself to you.
Yes,
and he'll do it on a daily basis.
Yes,
when you're walking with him and you spend your time with him, it's a relationship with you and him.
Amen.
It's good to have ministers all around you. That's wonderful. But it's you and God.
Amen.
It's you and God. That's number one.
Yep.
And then after that, you can start naming them off however you want. But number one is you and God.
Amen.
See, oh, that God can be three and yet one. How that the scripture can say, baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, turn around and say, baptize in the name of Jesus. See, all those things was in the scripture. You remember that. Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:38. And it divided. The scripture actually divided. In Matthew 28:19, the scripture said, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then on the day of Pentecost, they came down from the upper room full of the Holy Spirit, and they began to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was the church began to be divided. Satan came right in there and divided it. And as it went into the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church started the Trinitarian doctrine in 325 A.D. and started a lie that all the churches went into. So even when the word began to rise back, they still were under that lie. And it would take until the last church age to get that truth all the way back where it was. So God is holding you accountable for what he reveals to you in your day. He's not holding you accountable for what anybody else is doing or saying. He's holding you accountable for what he's revealing to you. And he's expecting you to follow him. See, how can Eve eat an apple and cause the wreckage of the whole world? It's just crazy, isn't it? Eating an apple. That's the idea of the carnal churches today. Eve ate an apple, and now all death and sickness and everything wrong with the world today was because of an apple. It doesn't even make sense. And along come, and another thing, she ate an apple, and she had two sons. She ate an apple and she had two sons. And one of them was a son of God and one of them was a son of the devil. That wasn't no apple.
Amen.
Along comes the Pentecostal age, like the Lutheran age, and they run out on a limb. But still, it's all right. Don't say they wasn't right. They were, see? But there's loose ends left that can't be explained, see? Why? The seals hasn't been broke to thoroughly reveal what these things are. See? But then in the last age, all these mysteries are to be solved and handed out, and the seals are to be opened by the Lamb and revealed to the church. See? That's right. Then time is no more. Now, how many times has he made that statement? And why is he making it? Because it's in those scriptures that he read. And he's identifying every one of those parts of the scripture. Every one of them. He's identifying the seventh angel. He's identifying the mighty angel. He's identifying the seven seals. He's identifying the seven thunders. And he's identifying that when this happens, time is no more. And then the beautiful thing is, he's identifying that mighty angel come down at the same time that that seventh angel was standing on the earth.
That's right.
It don't matter if they don't see him. It don't matter if they don't recognize him.
Right.
The bride recognized him.
Amen.
Because he's the Word. But then in the last days, all these mysteries are to be solved and handed out. The seals are to be opened by the Lamb, revealed to the church, and then time is no more. See? How wonderful. Then the book, then, is the book of redemption. Another point he keeps making. You keep going along, and he's going to tell you that this Bible right here sitting on the table, that it is the book of redemption. And he's going to tell you that the name of all the elect predestinated seed are in that book. That's right. And he says that book, he opens that book, and the names that are in that book are being called by God in this last day. And so the carnal mind can't figure that out. It makes them scratch their head till they just go back to their Baptist churches. They go back to their Pentecostal church. They go back somewhere else. But the bride is just quiet until she has thus saith the Lord. And then she keeps reading until she gets over there, and he says, now, the mysteries now are calling the names of the elect. And he said, now, it's not like Autumn or Esther or Michael. He said, it's speaking the mystery.
Amen.
The mystery of the seven thunders. And the elect recognizes the mystery. And she identifies herself with him because he's the Word. He's the revelation. He's what's being revealed. Those seven thunders is him being revealed.
Amen.
And so when those seven thunders are spoken, the bride recognizes the revelation.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes.
Now let's read a scripture I got written down, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Now, in whom we also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, there's a lot in there. There's a lot in there that he's saying. And one of those things is the gospel of your salvation, the word of truth that you believed. And when you believed it, you were sealed. When you are born again, God seals you into eternal life. And he seals out Satan. He seals him out. He can't get to you no more. It doesn't mean that you don't have some troubles, trials, and tribulations, what all that. But you're sealed. He can't get you. You're sealed. You're secure. You can't go back there no more because you're sealed. God has you. See, now, while we got the scriptures open, see, the Holy Spirit here itself is a seal. Think about that now. The Holy Spirit itself is a seal. And now, there were seven seals that sealed the book. And now, at this time, and this is what we're going to find as we go on into the rest of this that we've been studying, is that this seal that comes in the last days, this seal is he himself becoming one with the bride, with the elect of this last day, revealing himself to her. She becomes his possession. They become one. And she comes in complete surrender, and he begins to manifest himself in her.
Amen.
She has no control. She's just surrendered to him. The Holy Spirit is a seal, and a seal signifies what? A finished work. The Holy Spirit being a seal to the individual. And to that individual, when he receives the Holy Spirit, then his time of groaning is over because it's a finished work. See? Huh? It's a finished work. That's what the Holy Spirit's been doing. That's what he's been doing. He's been building on this thing. See, he goes and he inspects. Listen now. That's the reason you can't have these things. You say, I spoke with tongues. I shouted. I danced in the Spirit. They, you know why they love that so much? Because they haven't got stimulated by the revelation. So they got to get stimulated in their flesh. So they want to jump and shout. They want to speak in tongues. They want to do anything they can do to get some stimulation because they haven't been able to get it from the revelation. If they ever get it from the revelation, all of that is secondary. All of that means nothing to them no more. Now they've become one with Christ. Just like that pig becoming a human being. You ever become one with Christ, you don't need any of that stuff back there. And if he wants you, and I don't want to be the guy to take it away. If he wants you to do anything, he will do it. If he wants you to prophesy, you will. If he wants you to speak in tongues, you will. But I'll guarantee you, it won't be this nonsense, this fake stuff. Amen. If it's God doing it, it won't be you working it up and producing it.
That's right.
Like they do in these churches.
Amen.
No, it won't be that. It'll be you in your prayer closet alone with God. And he'll anoint you until you can't even talk your language no more.
That's right.
And you'll be talking in a heavenly language.
Amen.
With him.
That's right.
It won't be a language that you don't understand. It'll be a language that you could not understand, but there'll be something happening that he's speaking to you that you'll know that it's God speaking to you.
Right.
It could be revealing to you what it is that you're needing, or just letting you know that no matter what it is, he's there to make you the overcomer.
Right.
He might not tell you everything, how it's going to happen, but he's confirming he's there. The Holy Spirit inspects that person until he's thoroughly satisfied and knows that they are. Like Brother Branham talked about the train car. And I know I'm familiar with that because I used to work in a plywood plant when I got out of high school down in Florida. And when they would load a box car full of plywood, they would stack it. It would go up about 4 or 5 pallets high in there. And so when that train's going down the track, it's like this. And so what happens is those pallets of plywood bang on the walls. And so it messes up all the edges. So especially on the ones you use for flooring, it's tongue and groove. So you mess that up and then it's not tongue and groove anymore. It's just you butt it together and you got gaps. And so what they had these big, some type of plastic and cardboard that they slid in. There was just like about 6 or 8 inches on each side. So it was really tough loading those cars. But they would load them, and then they would put these packets about 8 foot high or however tall they were, and they had a place to fill them with air. And it filled them with air, and it put it on both sides, and it would hold the pressure so that when that boxcar is going down the track, that can't go nowhere. It's there. And then, so that nobody messes with that, when they close it, before they close it, there is the big guy who comes down and inspects it. And he inspects it. And if there's one thing he don't like, they will unload it and redo it all over again. And I've seen him redo it. It's got to be exact. And when it's exact, none of the plywood gets messed up. Everything's safe. See? Then they are sealed unto their eternal destination. There's not nothing can ever break that seal. See, that's right. The Bible, if you're putting down the scriptures, Ephesians 4:30, said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption." Hold that word, redemption. I don't know of anywhere else in the message where Brother Branham makes a statement exactly like he does in the breach on this scripture. Because you've heard that scripture 1,000 times. You're sealed unto the day of your redemption. Listen how he says it here. Hold that word redemption, see? Unto the day that the book of redemption has been revealed. Now that just makes it just big and wide. That just makes it wonderful. That makes it real. That places it right here. That places it right here for us. You're sealed until the day the book is revealed. And when it's revealed to you, that eternal life is in you.
That's right.
And you're secure. Nothing can ever touch you again. You have been sealed by that.
Yeah.
See, and the Redeemer comes to claim his possession. That's what this is all about. And this is going to get more and more on this as we go. The Redeemer comes to claim his possession. Nothing can do it. See, don't grieve it. Don't say, do things that pleases God. For the book is sealed now, and you are sealed. The Holy Spirit itself is the seal. That's right. Seal signifies now. Now, this is words I got from the dictionary. A seal signifies a finished work. Remember that Revelation 10? Time will be no more. Something's finished. Something's finished. See, the mystery of God that's sealed in these mysterious seals is finished. Until the day that the seal is broken, then it's revealed what's on the inside. And if the man's wondering what's on the in the boxcar, and you say, it's supposed to be such and such. They're supposed to be, he's presuming. See? But when the seal is broken and the door is open, we see into it then, we see exactly what's in there. You see it, see? That's the only, that'll only be done at the end time. Praise be to God. We are the blessed people to live in this last day. Brother Bram said, this is the greatest day, the greatest hour. This is the greatest time to live on the face of the earth and to be a part of God, to be a son and daughter of God, to see the revelation of God opened in this last day. The prophets longed for this day. They longed to see these things, to know these things. Can you imagine the prophet, I think, was it Ezekiel or Isaiah? He'd seen those chariots jostling in the streets. Sounds like he was talking about cars. Chariots with a fire. Cars with lights. That was just going through the streets, zooming. I don't know that that's exactly what it is. But they seen things, they longed to know what it was. They longed to know what it was. Many times, God will be showing something. You read it in there. And they say, don't you know what this is? And the person that's being showed will say, no, I don't know, Lord. I don't know what it means. Tell me what it means. What does it mean? See, a seal has a mark on it. It shows ownership. And when you are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost, you no longer belong to the world or anything pertaining to the world. You are owned by God. And another thing is, a seal is a security. Seal means you are secured. And now you that don't believe in eternal security, I don't know, but a seal signifies security to the destination. And woe unto that guy that would break the seal. See, that seal, the Holy Spirit seal cannot be broken. You have all heard me say that people said, the devil made me do it. No. The devil didn't do it. You just wasn't sealed yet. Sealed in. Once you get sealed, the devil can't get you.
Amen.
Just get into Christ, and the devil can't get you no more. See? Because when you're sealed in, he's sealed out. That's right. And notice now, this book is sealed, and you're sealed with the book until the day of redemption. See? So, if it's revealing what's in the book, it's revealing what's in you.
Yep.
It's revealing that you truly are a son of God, or you're truly not a son of God.
That's right.
It's revealing. For we know the whole creation groaneth. This is Romans 8:22 and 23. We know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain all together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the adoption of our body. They were the first partakers of the Spirit, when the Spirit was poured out in that day, they were the first ones. And now they were waiting for something. They were waiting for something. They were waiting for the fullness of it. They were waiting for the maturity of it. They were waiting for that adoption of being placed into Him. becoming one with Him.
Amen.
And that's where we are today. The bride, the sons and daughters of God, the children of God, have become one with Him by the new birth.
Amen.
And that's the only way to come into His presence. That's the only way to be sealed in, is by the new birth. And we thank God for that. And I'm going to stop right there. Right here, he starts on, he drops back and picks up Adam. He really does good. In this message, the breach, he really comes well on redemption. And he's laying such a foundation, such a beautiful foundation. But there's things he says here that he don't spend much time on as he goes on. He's going to bring in this message about the intercessory work. He's going to explain all that. He explained when these things are revealed. He placed it in time, in the history of the world. He placed it there. He identified who the players would be, who the messengers, the angels would be, and at what time in their ministry it would be. Everything he placed. You go back and lay out the things that he said, those little details. He was placing it right in when it's to happen. And so when people run away from it today, I just wonder, have they even read the books? Have they even read the messages? Do they even know what he said? Do they even care what he said? I remember several years ago, I was working with a guy. I wanted to give him my business because he was in the message. He was in another message church somewhere, and I thought, okay, this would be good if I could just give him some business. And he would be honest and faithful and true and all of those things, you know, definitely to my advantage. Well, he didn't necessarily turn out to be all of those things. And he didn't turn out to really be in the message either, because we were talking one day, and I wanted to talk to him about the thunders, those seven thunders. And so I said, brother, what do you think about the seven thunders? And he said, the what? I said, the seven thunders. He said, I don't know what that is. I said, you never heard of the seven thunders? He said, no. And I was in shock. I mean, you know how you just kind of go blank? You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. I'm like, you're in a message church. You're a grown man. You got a family. You got children. How can you be in the message? And I understand in some of these poor countries, they used to not have books. Now they can get them. And there's more ways now. You don't even have to book now because there's so many other ways. I remember 30, 40 years ago, those people, they didn't have books. So when you ask them, have you ever read the book? No, they didn't have them. They weren't available to them. But now they are. Now they are, but people aren't interested. And it's just, it amazes me. It amazes me that the lack. So let us stand together. We did good. We got really where I wanted to get, because I want to pick this up on Wednesday. And he said several things about Adam. And so I want that to be right there together. And this is, once again, this is in the breach. This is at the opening of the seals. I don't see anything here that he's changing. There was something back there that he changed, maybe. But here, these are actually things that he said right on through. And so if he said it all the way through, then we should be sure that it's the Word of God for this day. And if it was something for the church ages, then He'll vindicate that. And if it's something for the bride, if it's a revelation of those thunders, He'll vindicate that. He'll vindicate what day it is. And He'll vindicate what messenger brought it. Was it the seventh angel? Was it the mighty angel? So, all right, let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, once again, we give You thanks and praise. Once again, we lift up Your lovely name, Lord. May You forgive us our shortcomings, Lord, our slack places. Help us to be true to You, Lord, in all things. We just ask Your blessings upon each one. And as Sister Sharon goes back, may You be with her. Lord, just strengthen her and guide her. Lord, let her be a light to those around her. May you just help her. Give her revelation as she reads and studies, Lord. And for each one of us, we pray for Sister Betty and for Sister Rebecca and Cameron, the whole family, Lord. We commit to you daily, Lord, that you will bless them. Give them, Lord, much revelation. And we thank you so much for blessing our sister and giving her strength and letting her eat and talk to the family and just have fellowship, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. So we love you. We commit all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God bless you. Amen.